gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Now, the JoJo of the week.
All the haters and losers, of which there are many, were saying Jordan's going to be bad again this year. I just want everybody to know that the Ape Train has officially left the station this year. We're doing things this year.
Way to go, loser.
Oh. What does that even mean?
I think you did.
I don't have a lot to say about that.
Got him.
The hustling. Anything is better than that.
Suck me arse, dilly dilly mofos.
Oh, to be the seller arse is something I do dread. Oh, to be the seller arse when winter rears its ugly head. Now your destiny, you can only barely choose. Your money, you will surely lose. Oh, the seller arse, am I?
You got Plaxicode.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man.
Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The pod is back and is better than ever. She's got a real nice tight spiral.
Buckle up because it's going to get pretty juicy.
This is the Semi-Pro Ducks Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Welcome to the start of the best time of the year. It's fantasy football season. I am your host, Rick, here to kick off season three of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Gonna get this out of the way. I've got to apologize for not getting the pod out on time last night. From this week on, our regular scheduling will continue. It'll be out on Wednesday night, Wednesday evening, depending on who's on and everybody's availability, way out ahead of time of the Thursday night game, rather than me taping it during the Thursday night football game. But everyone's going to get a look into what it's like for me to watch a Falcons game, if you didn't know already. Plenty of news to cover, all the Fantasy Pros points and rankings to give out. I've got all of them. How does Le'Veon Belt not playing change these fantasy matchups? We're kicking it off week one with Jared. Enjoy.
Jared.
Ooh, okay.
Are you? How'd it go?
It was good. I'm bad at math and computers.
Oh, we need that.
Yes.
Okay. Julio's got a catch, and then he had a nice end-around run for about 10 yards.
He has a rush for 10 yards?
Yes.
Oh, my God. He should have been the number one overall pick.
Yep. Where are you at on your stream? Or on your cable in the game?
It is 3rd and 10 from the Philly 39. Matt Ryan drops back. The pressure's coming. He's going to throw it long over the middle. It's Julio. He's down inside the 5. Let's fucking go.
Damn, I'm still a whole play behind.
Oh my God, I don't even care that it hurts the Eagles defense. All right, helping me go over the first three matchups of the year is Jared. He missed out on the playoffs last year, but he is back, hoping to prove that he's one of the best GMs in the league. Welcome back to the pod, Jared.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me back. It's quite the honor to be the first person on the podcast this amazing NFL season. It's already started off. We're currently watching the game here together. How are you doing today?
Very good. I was hoping Devontae Freeman was going to score there to help the Falcons get on the board, but he didn't. I'm doing very good. I'm so excited to be back on the pod. Like I said in the intro, day late and a dollar short. It doesn't even matter. Let's jump right into these previews. Dr. Andrew, team Melvin Gordon, taking on Duncan, Jarvis, Dirty, Landry. Andrew has three of the four best LA Clippers on his fantasy roster. Felipe Rios, Keenan Allen, the Clippers defense. He's also got Dalvin Cook and Kenyon Drake. While Duncan is kicking off week one, Leonard Fournette, Odell Beckham, Salami Watkins. Andrew is a big fan of the LA Clippers, as you are. He's as big of a Clippers fan as they come. Is riding with Rios and Simple Keenan going to hurt or help him this year?
Fantasy-wise, I feel like they can put up decent numbers. Keenan Allen is a very underrated wide receiver, one of the best possession wide receivers in the league, to be honest. Rivers can be, I think he's extremely good fantasy value where you can get him at in drafts. I'm not saying he's one of the best fantasy quarterbacks out there, but there's a lot of decent quarterbacks. Diving in a little bit to the matchup here. Sorry, I got to pull it up. I'm also watching the game. Anyway, diving into Andrew's side, what I ended up doing here for all the matchups was I added up everyone's opponent ranking and then divided by the amount of players playing. So I gave everyone an average opponent rank just to kind of see how tough sledding people can face any given week where I'm on the pod. To start off, Andrew's average opposition rank is 16.6, which in my rankings of the six teams that I evaluated is the second lowest. So that's pretty good. He's got a pretty middle of the road schedule, strength of schedule, not too easy, not too hard. Keenan Allen and Allen Robinson,
what a fucking bum.
Both face the 31st and 30th ranked defense versus wide receivers. Corey Davis and Chris Thompson and the Chargers D all face top five opponent rankings, which make it a little tough.
True.
Cook, A-Rob are both coming off of ACLs on Andrew's team, Dr. Stone's team. So we'll see how his rehabilitation tactics are going. And Corey Davis is coming off a pretty injury-riddled season. Corey Davis also has a new offensive coordinator and a new head coach. It'll be super interesting to see how Marcus utilizes him this year and if Vrabel can get the ball rolling with him. We all know Corey Davis has the talent. We all know Marcus obviously has the talent. And then Chris Thompson also has a new quarterback, as we all know, Alex Smith. Looking over at Duncan. Duncan's average opponent rank is 18.5. It's one of the best that I did analysis on so far today. So he, out of the six teams I looked at, has the easiest path when it comes to opponent rankings. Alex Collins goes against the 32nd ranked Buffalo run D, which is, you know, trash, obviously. Fournette goes against the 21st ranked New York Giants run defense, which is, you know, obviously it's higher than 15, so that's good. And Deshaun Watson goes against the 26th opponent ranked. OBJ, his number one pick, I believe. Or was it?
No, second round pick.
Number one pick. Yeah. Second round pick. OBJ goes against the number one pass defense in the league, Jacksonville. So obviously it's great to have OBJ on your team, but he has the hardest opponent. So that's kind of tough for him. Salami Twatkins is going against the 7th ranked Los Angeles Superchargers great secondary. We all know how amazing their secondary is going to be this year. Some more storylines with those teams or those players. Sammy Watkins, this year has a brand new quarterback with Mr. Mahomes there in Kansas City. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. It's kind of unproven territory there. It's interesting that a conservative coach like Andy Reid is bringing in or trying to run a Big 12 offense there in the AFC West. I think the biggest question mark on his team is Deshaun Watson. The sample size that we got from him was extremely small last year, and I don't think statistically relevant, but the glimpses that we did get were absolutely incredible, electric.
Yeah, he's very thorough.
So we'll see whether that pans out or not. That's kind of what I got for the matchups. If I were to – oh, this is something I wanted to bring up to you. I think this year I'm going to keep track of what everyone – because usually we like to give a projection or a prediction of who's going to win the matchup. I think right. I'm going to try to keep track of everyone's predictions this year and see who has the most correct. Obviously, some people are on the pod more than others, so I might have to do it by just, you know, overall percentage. But – sure. I think it'd be kind of cool at the end of the year for one of the awards to give out, you know, the best analysts when it comes to predicting winners. So to start that off,
Steve Sarkisian game picker of the week.
Yeah,
Booger game picker
perfect
of the
name
week.
For it.
All right,
I'm gonna go with Duncan in this first round game. What do you think?
Interesting. I'm gonna go with Andrew. You can put me down for a Dr. Stone. I really like the way that he set up his team. As a guy who is a doctor and going through med school, he's got handcuffs for both of his RB1, RB2, really solid wide receiver options. I like the way his team is set up. He's got good depth. He's only 4 weeks away from adding another incredible running back in Mark Ingram to his team. I don't like Duncan's team this week.
I mean, Rick, we're talking about this week's team. We're talking about – that's the other thing is – this is I'm very privileged and happy to be the first guy up here for this year's podcast. It's kind of hard to go and do projections and rankings here. It's still the same shit that we know from our pre-draft rankings. Like, I don't have any hard evidence to go off of this year, so I didn't even bother to look at benches really, or people that are hurt or could come in later, because I feel like it's not really, like I said, there is no there's no information I can go off of. So I just kind of looked at, I wanted to focus on this week, who they're facing, kind of a little bit of the projections, and you're still going to go with Andrew.
Yeah, I am. I don't like Duncan's team. I think like he's got a really tough matchup with, there's something about it I don't like. I think with Duke Johnson at flex, like he's maybe a third string guy in Cleveland. He's got a lot of rookie. Michael Gallup maybe is a decent option, but again, you have no idea how he's going to be used. I just like the way that Andrew's team is set up this week. I think
ooh,
that
awesome.
Throwback. I really like Dalvin Cook and Kenyon Drake. Chris Thompson is, okay at flex, which is like the only kind of weak spot. I've got a lot to say about Sammy Watkins. I don't think he's a good RB2. Devin Funchess was just okay last year, but I don't know if he's going to be the number one or not in Carolina. I think Dr. Stone kicks off this year with a win.
I strongly disagree. Sorry, Andrew, nothing against you, but just Duncan's average opponent rankings and the team that he's fielding, not considering his bench. I feel like he's got a better product.
All right. That brings us to our next matchup. Tim, I left the Stephon versus Luke, Team Drew for Breeze. Tim took Alvin Kamara last year in the 13th round. He won 8 in a row, finished 9-4. This year he takes Kamara with his first round pick, and he starts the season against Luke, who is loaded up at running backs with Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon, as well as Davante Adams, and his best player by far, Chris Boswell. We'll start with Luke. He goes Barkley, round 1, first overall pick. Likely 3-down back for the New York Football Giants. Okay offensive line for the Giants. Is this a pick that you think is going to be worth it and is going to pay off for him?
It's so tough to tell. There's been a lot of recent success with rookie running backs, a la Todd Gurley and Zeke Elliott and even Alvin Kamara. I mean, I'm talking about first rounders.
Right.
I mean, theoretically, yes. I feel like the Giants are also one of those teams where they get a lot of preseason hype, and then they end up not panning out. Their offensive line is not bad. It's not the worst. It's also not the best. I don't know. Saquon is also, I mean, we all watched him in college. He's one of those once in a generational talents. It seems like he's just absolutely built. I don't know. I think he'll be good. He'll be good at the backfield for this league. With the hands that he has and just the type of player that he is. And he has a very solid, steady quarterback with Eli. I think he is first round talent. Absolutely. Where Luke got him. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of hard to say. Like I said, I have zero data right now. Ask me in 4 weeks. How about that?
Okay. I'll write that down. What are the rest of the numbers and all the math that you've done? How does this matchup look to you?
Luke's average opponent ranking is 17.3. That's the second highest compared to Duncan. So only Duncan out of the people that I did has an easier road. So that's kind of tough for Tim to go up against. Kittle is facing the number one defense against tight ends. That's really tough, obviously. But when it comes to overall fantasy football scope, having your tight end not play the best can't, that's not the worst thing. You want to make sure that you're core skill position players have decent matchups. Saquon Barkley is facing Jacksonville. They have the number 13 opponent ranked run defense for fantasy. And then on the complete opposite side of that, Mr. Tom Brady is facing the 31st ranked Houston secondary against the pass. And he also has Hogan too. We'll see how the whole double dipping scenario is going to go. They don't have any other running or wide receivers, really. So I think that Hogan, at least until Edelman comes back, who he has on his bench, I think this can be really play out extremely well for Luke. Moving down my list here. Davante Adams obviously gets a huge boost from having Rodgers back. Davante Adams was, even with Hundley in last year, everyone could tell that he's one of the best fantasy wide receivers, and now having the best quarterback in the game, fantasy-wise, throwing the ball to him, I expect him to have an amazing year. We'll see this week when they're going to face the Bears, who just reloaded with Khalil Mack. So now they got Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack. I really like that pair. I think the Bears' defense, honestly, is kind of a sleeper fantasy value defensive-wise. Moving down my list, the Steelers look like they're going to operate without Le'Veon Bell. So how that impacts Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm not 100% sure. You have James Conner in the backfield. That means you don't have to load the box per se. You can drop either an outside linebacker into coverage or just have another safety in the mix. That's definitely going to hurt Juju and Antonio Brown. And Ravens D against the Bills, probably the best defense you could play this week.
Yes.
Bills announced Nathan Peterman as their quarterback, and everyone remembers his game against the Chargers last year. So Ravens could easily get a couple turnovers and only allow, 10 points, and they could easily put up 15 points. So moving over, or do you have anything else to say about Luke, or do you want to go over to Tim now?
Yeah, my only thing on Luke is there's something about his wide receivers that like doesn't scare me, and like his team as a whole isn't a team that's set up to where I'm like, oh boy, like Luke drafted really well. His team is incredibly good. This is really scary. His running backs are really strong, and Tom Brady's got to hold up as old as he is. I think Davante Adams is like a solid number one receiver to have. I don't really like Juju Smith-Schuster. And Chris Hogan has injury issues. And it's just like that kind of combination is something that like doesn't really scare me. And I don't know if Luke, the way his team is right now, is necessarily a playoff team, maybe like a fringe playoff team. It's not that I don't think they're good. It's just that it's something that it doesn't put fear into me in the way that like Luke's teams in the past have put up. And it's kind of hard to figure out like how teams are going to play based on where they finished last year and all that kind of stuff. But Saquon right out of the box is going to have a really tough matchup. Joe Mixon against Indy should be a big time three down back. I have no idea how the Bears are going to play with Khalil Mack. So it's just a very intriguing team where I'm not, definitely has the potential to be really good, but I wouldn't be surprised if he just has like a middle of the road team, 5-6 weeks down the road.
I'm going to have to say I really disagree with you when it comes to fantasy-wise about Luke's team. I think that first and foremost, the caveat, my opinions will be much better as the season goes on because I'll actually have concrete evidence to base things off of. We have zero games to go off of so far. But
we've almost got a full quarter of football in here.
So right, exactly.
Let's calm down.
But though the flashy names may not be there for Luke's team, I think fantasy production-wise, all these guys are pretty studly. So I think that, especially this week with his average opponent ranking being so high, that's going to help him out. I like Juju Smith-Schuster as a wide receiver too. I really like Davante as a number one. I like Joe Mixon behind the Bengals offensive line. Saquon is to be seen. I'm not sure yet. And, I mean, if he can get 15 points from the Ravens defense, that can really make up for one of those people not performing well.
Right. I also, at the same time, I think maybe I'm looking at it more against Tim this week, and I think Tim's got a really, really good team, and I think Tim's going to win this week. His wide receivers and his running backs, especially the first 4 weeks while Kamara is for sure going to be a number one back. But his team is so dangerous and so deep. The ability to have Freeman be your flex, I think Marquise Goodwin is going to be incredibly good for the Niners. And then Hill and AJ Green as wide receivers 2 and 1 like that. I think his team is just set up so, so strong right now.
Yeah, my kind of analysis on Tim's team this week is his average opponent ranking is 16.5, so pretty middle of the road. He's got Cousins, Kamara, Henry, and AJ Green all facing mid to upper 20s opponent rankings, so that really helps him. On the flip side, though, the other five positions besides kicker face top 10 opponent ranking, which, I feel like that's pretty tough sledding. Kamara, we will get the ball every single down now while Ingram is out. So for these first, how many is it? 4 games for Ingram, correct?
Yeah.
So for these first 4 games, Kamara is going to be a machine, absolute fantasy machine. And I think we saw little flashes of greatness from John Ross there in Cincinnati. So I think if he can play well, that really helps AJ Green. That's going to have to make secondaries playing Cincinnati decide, are we going to continue to double AJ Green and let John Ross run all over us, or do we have to play them both fairly now? We'll see how that kind of plays out. Also, the whole Derrick Henry versus Deion Lewis debate, I still think it's very out for debate on how they're going to split those carries. Everyone automatically assumes, oh, Derrick Henry's the bruiser back. He'll get early down carries, while Deion's a scat back, smaller guy. He'll get third down and specialty plays. I don't think they may be true between the 20s, but inside of the 20s, I have no idea how red zone's going to break down for how Vrabel and the crew there in Tennessee, how they're going to decide to run the ball. So I still think that's really up in the air.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think you see a back like Henry and how good he was in college and has been sitting by DeMarco Murray, and like he's been the change of pace guy. Like, I think it should be time that Tennessee just outright uses him as their number one and then brings on Lewis when needed.
I 100% agree with you. And if I were running the Tennessee Titans, I wouldn't have spent any money on Dylan Lewis. I would have gone to a much smaller scat back and would have had a three down back in Henry. But fantasy-wise, for this matchup, I don't know how many points Deion Lewis is going to steal from Derrick Henry this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a liability, honestly, in the lineup. But saying all that, I will have to agree with you and go with Tim, but not by much. I think it's going to be a much closer matchup than anyone thinks. I think Luke's team is decent to great, or above decent to great. And Tim's team is also, though, very good. I think these are two of the better teams. Out of the ones I looked at, two of the better teams I saw.
Yeah, I agree. Tim did a great job, and Luke is always very much in the know for fantasy. So, yeah, we're on the same side there. Nice to finally agree on something, which leads us to our last matchup. Jared, he's on the other side here. Keenan Allen Ranch is taking on myself, Le'Veon Belt. I had a great run that ended last year at my own demise and being general dumbassery, and Jared missed out on the playoffs, but more surprisingly made a trade last season. You're on the pod week one. Walk us through your matchup. You are down 14.4-9.
Right. I know. It's tough sledding. Can't believe it. I'm a little worried. I won't lie to you. Well, I'll start with you, Rick. We'll talk about you first. I know you like that.
Oh, yes.
Your average opponent ranking is 15.3, so very much middle of the road. Maybe a little bit leaning towards the tougher side, but nothing crazy. Julio's going up against 21st-ranked Philly. Philly secondary when it comes to fantasy. Your Philly defense, which I was surprised that you started, is going up against a very stout and good Atlanta offense. They're ranked 9th when it comes to facing fantasy defenses, so I think that was kind of an iffy play, to be honest.
Throw the fucking ball to Julio Jones, god damn it.
Yeah, see, I like that. Breece and Julio, both great matchups. They've faced the 19th and 21st opponent ranking, respectively. Obviously, the game going on right now is a huge matchup for us. You have three players going in it, and I've got Nelson Aguilar. So there's that. And then also, you have both Cooks and Woods going Monday night while I'll be completely done. And that leads me to my next point. I think it's a very, very terrible decision to run both Woods and Cooks in your same fantasy lineup. You're only splitting hairs there. You can't have both of them go off. You better choose one and hope that the one that you choose right goes off. Otherwise, you're not hedging your bets here. You're splitting the amount of potential you could score. So what is your rationale behind that?
I don't have the depth to say. I would go with Brandon Cooks. He would be the guy that I would likely pick over Robert Woods, and I would think Woods would probably go to my bench. I don't have the depth right now because I've got too many damn rookies and backups on my bench to feel comfortable not playing one, or I guess only playing one of them. So
yeah, I think something that we're all feeling right now is we're all very with. Out any games or knowing anything about the season so far, we're very reluctant to make any sort of moves on the waiver wire right now. We all think that the sleepers that we drafted or the rookies that we drafted have, you know, they're going to perform amazingly. So even though they may be on your bench now, you're not willing to drop them now. So hopefully within, you know, maybe by week three, you can kind of determine, is it worth continuing running Woods and Cooks, or is it going to be worth your while to drop somebody off your bench or move somebody around so you can, you know, not run to a number one and a number two receiver on the same team.
Yeah, I'm not.
That have Gurley. So Gurley's going to take up most of the points there.
True. I'm definitely not going to, like, trade for Goff or anything just so I can have the QB points there.
I'd make it even worse.
I'd just become a
Rams fan. And you would live and die with them.
Yeah, it would be too much. I'm not. I mean, we'll talk about my trade when we talk to Mike and we go over the trade talk that we did with Jordan and stuff, but
I
like the receiver I got back in Woods and the running backs that I added as well. I mean, I don't know. The team stuff is kind of okay. I wasn't really thinking of Woods as being like the guy that would be my wide receiver three or anything like that. I don't know. I'm in a weird situation. I don't like my team, which is nothing new. If you've listened to the pod for a while, I'm always down on my team and everything is always going bad. I think this year things are already going especially bad.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir. You and I are the only ones that had starting running backs go down with ACLs before the season even started. So
true, but you were prepared to lose one of your starting running backs because you had more than just one of them on the team. So
true, but it's still not. Anyway, we'll talk about my team next. My average opponent ranking is 11.6. It's the toughest one that I looked at doing my analysis. So that's doesn't forebode well for me. TY is going up against a really, really good Cincinnati secondary. They're ranked second in opponent ranking against fantasy wide receivers. Zeke is going up against Carolina. They're third in opponent ranked defense against running backs in fantasy. So they're two of my highest skill position players are kind of fucked, to be honest. Demaryius, Cam Newton, and Hyde all have favorable matchups. I need them to go off, and me having to count on Carlos Hyde for anything makes me sick to my stomach. Let's see here. Aguilar, now, I think, as long as Alshon Jeffrey is not playing, he's pretty much the number one receiver there in Philadelphia. I haven't even looked. I've been on a different matchup page. I should go and look to see if he scored anything for me right now. Some live scoring action.
0.9.
Good. That's what you want. All right. Anyway, hopefully he can vulture a touch, or not vulture, but get in the end zone at some point this game. That's basically what I need out of him. I still think that he's pretty much the number one option there, as long as Alshon Jeffrey is not playing. It was a real tough decision for me to decide between playing him or Kenny Stills. I'll be pretty pissed off if Kenny Stills. He always seems to have one big catch a game, and if he can take it to the house, then he scores a decent amount of points. So we'll see how that goes. And then we can talk about Jerick McKinnon if you want, but that's just very disappointing to me. And thank you for sending out that photo of me showing you that you were asking for him, and I said, I don't know if I want to for running backs because I don't know whether Jerick has made a glass or not.
I was looking at Lamar Miller or Hyde because they were both, Miller at that point was a flex and Hyde was looking like the number one. He was on your bench. I was wondering if you just give it up for, like Woods or someone like that or someone off of my bench, but my bench is terrible. Like, why would you ever trade with me? But yeah, that was quite the call to wait on Jerick McKinnon to prove that he indeed is made of glass. Very smart GM play by you. Smarter drafting by taking more than one starting running back. It was a very, very smart play.
I don't know. I'm very much down on that now. So when it comes to picks, I'm picking you this week, Rick. Even with the double wide receiver start, I think that even starting Cooks and Brandon, that it won't even matter. By that point, you will have enough to where you only need one of them to do something when it comes to Monday night, because I'll have already had all my players go. And I might be ahead, but not by much. And Cooks will get an end zone once, or Woods will have one big catch, and that'll be all you need. So I got you, Rick.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree because I am down on my team. I think we're going to find out this year how many times I actually pick myself. Actually, that's what you should keep track of for me in all these picks, is just when I pick my team, how many times I pick against myself. So I'm guessing it's going to be all 16 weeks this year. Yeah, I guess with Woods and Cooks, like, one guy can get a bunch of catches, the other guys could get into the end zone, like, that would kind of work out. I just don't think my running back situation is any good. I don't think Mac or Sony Michel are going to play, which leads me with James White as my RB2. I think he would be the best play over Gio or Doug Martin, who are both very clear number twos. James White last year for me as a pass-catching back did a decent job, so I think I would throw him in. I just think your team is better than mine. Steve Sarkisian won't ever call plays for Julio Jones into the red zone, so he's never going to score. I'm probably only going to score like 20 points this week. I'm peaking at 13.4 that I've got right now. So we're split here, but I'm going with you.
I think you and I hate our teams pretty much equally. You and I both are not very happy. I know that whole Jerick McKinnon thing has got me down. But anyway, we'll see. We got a whole season to play, so very maybe true. Something will turn around.
Very true. On to segments. Do you have any segments prepared for this week?
Not really, besides the whole I was planning on keeping track of everything just to kind of see what kind of awards we can give out at the end of the year for that, so you see who's the best picker. Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season. I know we're all football guys and football guys guys, so this is the best time of the year for us. Pips kind of took over, or not took over, but Pips pretty much got the weather segment in the bag. I can definitely help with that. At the beginning of the game today, it was delayed about half an hour because of the thunderstorm running through South Philly. So that was pretty interesting. That's why we had a late kickoff.
Oh, yeah. And as stand-in weather guy, the hurricane that is coming, is that going to have any effects on games as it did last year where Tampa Bay didn't play week one?
There is a major hurricane actually storming off the coast, off the East Coast. It's pretty far out. A lot of the spaghetti models show it could possibly curve north along the eastern seaboard there and curl back out into the Atlantic. But a lot of the spaghetti models show that it could barrel right into anywhere from Georgia all the way up to New Jersey. So if that were the case, and this thing is pretty big, let me see, what was the name? I think it's Florence or something, Hurricane Florence. Let me double check that for you right now. I want to make sure I get my facts straight since I'm standing in for
Pip. Come on, get the ball, get the ball. Get it. There we go.
There it is. Hurricane Florence could wallop the East Coast in the days ahead, forecasters say. Let's see when it's expected to make landfall. I think we're pretty far out right now to determine whether it could slam into the East Coast or not. Let's see here. Tuesday of next week, it's projected to be a Category 3 hurricane as it passes just south of the Bahamas or Bermuda. So that projects it out to what? Yeah, I guess Thursday, Friday is probably when it could make landfall on the East Coast. If it continues on its projected path, it looks like it's going to run right into North Carolina, South Virginia. And in that general area, that would affect the Panthers and the Skins, it looks like. So, and possibly Tennessee Titans. So that's something definitely to keep an eye on when it comes to canceled games or terrible weather or anything like that.
Well, okay then. Good news.
Well, not really, Rick.
Well,
not
that's good news, that's but true. Well, good news. yeah, I'm sorry. I was sending a text. That was not a good look by me.
Thanks for listening, Rick.
I have a rock and a Brock of the week. Let me get through those real quick.
How do you already have one?
Rock of the week.
Well, a rock of the week is just a guy that I think is going to have a really good week.
But I thought it was always contingent on, oh, this is what happened the previous week. It's not, oh, you're predicting.
I'm projecting, yeah, it's a future rock of the week. Yeah, none of this stuff is about what happened last week. That's not the way I've done it, at least. My rock of the week is Alvin Kamara. Tampa Bay is horrible, and Kamara's got his Kamara tape going. He's projected 19. I think he easily goes over that. He's 100% owned in ESPN leagues, so if you see him available, definitely pick him up. Great sleeper value. Alvin Kamara against the Buccaneers. That is a great play. I also have a Brock of the week.
Brock of the week.
That is Sammy Watkins. I don't know what to make of Sammy Watkins. He's on Duncan's team as a wide receiver too. I think he could end up being a forgotten option. That offense has already got Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and the Clippers have a really good defense, and the Chiefs have plenty of attacking options to go to before Watkins. He's projected 8.8. I think he goes less.
I mean, they have two, Rick, but it's whatever.
What's that?
I guess three. I guess they have three options. Okay, never mind. I was going to counterpoint you, but I guess I agree that he is the third option there, fourth option?
I mean, yeah. Well, he's the second wide receiver, and then just the offense as a whole, like he's the fourth guy.
Right. He's behind Kelce, and he's behind Kareem, Creamy Boy.
So. Yeah. I think he's the fourth guy that they look to on that offense. He's 93% owned. I think it's time that everybody drops him like it's hot. We get him down to 92 by the end of the week, and we call it good.
Wow, well, big 1% move. I don't know. My counterpoint to that would be he won't be covered, so because you got to worry about everyone else. I'll give you a rock and a Brock of the week. How about that?
Okay, who's your rock?
My rock of the week is
Rock of the Week.
Alex Collins.
Ooh.
Alex Collins of Baltimore. He's going up against the atrocious Buffalo run offense. So I think he's obviously established himself there as the main lean back in Baltimore. And Flacco just gets older. He needs a decent run game for Flacco to be any good. I think they're going to hit the ground a lot. So he's my Rock of the Week. And my Brock of the Week is?
Brock of the Week.
It's going to be Zeke. It's going to be my Ezekiel Elliott.
Calling yourself that's the ultimate I'm down on myself is when I'm calling out my number one pick as a Brock of the Week.
He's facing Carolina. They have the third opponent ranked rushing defense against fantasy players. And that's tough for me because he's my number one pick and I need him to go off. But with that Dallas offense, everything that they've shown so far this offseason is that they're extremely one dimensional. Zeke is the offense. Unless Dak has somehow got his shit together in the offseason, who in the hell is he going to throw the ball to Allen Hurns? Is he going to throw it to Gallup or whatever the other, that kid's name is? I don't know.
It is Gallup, yeah.
They're just going to load the box. First off, they already have a good run defense. Then they're going to load the box. I don't know. I think he's going to disappoint week one.
Wow. Good news for me then. End of the first quarter, Falcons lead 3-0 because Steve Sarkisian is busy eating boogers instead of calling plays that throw the ball to the second best wide receiver in the NFL of all time.
Yeah, we've got a barn burner in Philly.
Oh, goodness. All right, well, thank you, Jared, very much for kicking off the pod. First guest of the year is done with. Again, we'll have you on in a couple of weeks when your stats and numbers all have meaning behind them.
Absolutely, Rick. Once again, thank you very much for having me on first. It's quite the pleasure. Somebody's yelling outside of my window right now. I don't know if you can hear that.
I can. Who is that?
I have no idea. I live in the city, or pretty decently in the city. I live on like 65th Street.
Is it an LTD guy?
There's always some sort of... No, I wish it was an LTD guy. There's always some sort of people just roaming around yelling shit out in front of my house. Anyways, once again, thank you very much, Rick, for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I'll come on whenever you need me to. Come on for any special segment you want me to. And fuck you, and I hope you lose fantasy this week.
Oh, thank you. I hope I lose too.
Okay, good.
Hey, this is Jordan here to bring you a quick word from one of our sponsors. The company sent me a copy of this ad read a couple weeks ago. I'm sure I haven't heard from them since, but I'm sure it's still fine. Retirement. Financial freedom. Do these words mean anything to you? Sometimes real financial security can feel so far away, these things seem made up. I'm here to tell you, Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast listeners, that you can start your road to retirement today and start winning the game of finances and life. Looking to retire by the age of about 60 or 65? Look no further than Kendrickson Nassib Investment Group, LLC. This partnership between Cleveland Browns superstars Michael Kendricks and Carl Nassib brings you the investment opportunity of a lifetime. With Kendrickson Nassib's asset-based investment strategy and experience dealing in capital markets, real estate, and corporate mergers, the Kendrickson Nassib promise is to bring you major opportunities the general public would never dream of investing in. Now, we understand the demographic of this show centers around 25-year-old white males. Let's say your target retirement age is 65. Did you know that if you get a 10% rate of return on your money for 40 years straight, you'll have 45 times the amount you began with? Now, I know Carl Nassib famously said that it was going to be 64 times your money, but, you know, considering CTE and all, that's actually pretty close. Good job, Carl. Now, you may ask, how the hell are you supposed to get a 10% return every year? Well, let's just say investment manager Michael Kendricks is like the inside linebacker of the stock market, possessing the uncanny ability to call out companies' plays before they even happen. Begin investing today with Kendricks and Nassim Investments, and you'll be entered to win a free trip and tickets to watch Michael and Carl play for the Browns this year. With Kendricks and Nassib, your future will look as bright as the Browns in 2018. Kendrickson Nassib Investment Group, LLC is licensed in all 50 states. This material is subject to change without notice. Kendrickson Nassib Investment Group, LLC assumes no responsibility for the outcome of any outstanding SEC investigations against either of the partners. Not that there is an investigation. We're saying that just in case. Michael Kendricks is just super smart, that's all. All investment advice is given with no fiduciary responsibility, so if you lose a bunch of money, that sucks for you. Also, do people really think the Browns will be good this year? I mean, it's the Browns. Come on, don't be ridiculous.
Kicking off the second half of the pod, you recognize the music, you know it's our lawyer, our good friend of the pod, it's Michael Esquire. Michael, welcome back to the pod, and welcome back to the pod. I don't know why I said it twice.
Love that you said it twice, Rick. Thank you for having me back on the pod this year. Excited to be here and excited to start this great discussion with you.
Indeed. I'll hopefully speak better when I'm reading the pre-stuff I've written out. Maybe I'll learn to read at some point. I don't know. Who knows? Stick with us. Subscribe to the Semi Products podcast. See if Rick learns how to read or speak. We kick off the 2018 season with our reigning champion, Froenick, taking on 11th place finisher, Scott. Froenick is going to be without number two overall pick, Le'Veon Bell, but will roll out the rest of his talented team, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Howard, Doug Baldwindow, and more. Scott got his number one guy again, DeAndre Hopkins, his second favorite Raider, Marshawn Lynch, and I'm sure he's soon to be adding his number one favorite Raider, Brandon LaFell. So looking at both of these teams, which one do you think is going to be more likely? Is that we see Scott finishing very close to the bottom and scaring himself by having to do stand-up, or Froenick repeating as champion?
Well, Froenick's going to win this one. Scott's probably the worst fantasy football player in history, maybe ever. The only good fantasy decision Scott ever made was drafting Todd Gurley last year, and guess what? He didn't do that this year. So, suck it, Scott. But in reality, I do think that Froenick's got a lot of problems on his team. He's got a lot of questionables, I think, here in the lineup. Oh, actually, they all kind of vanished, but Le'Veon Bell is still kind of a huge worry, obviously. And I think I actually really like Scott's pick with Stephon Diggs. I think he's going to do a lot of work this year. I think he's someone to really watch, and I was actually thinking about picking him up. People think Adam Thielen's still number one, I guess, right?
Yeah, based on the numbers that Thielen put up last year, you would think Thielen be the one, but I would assume that with a new quarterback coming in, Stephon's probably going to be the guy in Minnesota.
That's kind of where I was going, too. I think Adam Thielen was just going to regress, like, naturally from last year because he had such a crazy year. And that's not necessarily something you can repeat, but then you also have the switching quarterbacks. So I think there's going to be at least more of a balanced role at first. And Cousins is going to be looking for who he has chemistry with, and Diggs might actually come out on top. So I think that's actually a really good thing for Scott. He might not come out on top, but they'll actually at least be equal for the first few weeks while testing out the waters with the new quarterback in the regular season. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, Scott, you suck, but I'm rooting for you because it would be very nice to see Froenick not do well this entire season.
Yes. Yeah. I guess it's pretty hard for you to root for Scott with him being so soft and all. What do you think of the two teams here? Scott's got four guys playing on the road. One of them right now, Devontae Freeman, with 2.2 points. So an early lead on Team Froenick, Jerry Rice Cube Trays. What are you seeing in the matchup? I know you're a big playing on the home and road guy. Both teams with four guys on the road. I guess five if you count Greg the Leg Zuerlein.
Well, I mean, I guess four guys on the road, but, you know, again, one of those four guys on the road for Froenick is Le'Veon Bell, who might not even be playing, so...
Julio! Yes, sir! What?
Oh, so, are you watching?
I'm watching the Falcons game, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, that could happen a lot, potentially.
Oh, it's fine, Rick. I mean, have a fun time watching them do poorly this year.
Thank you, I will.
I think Le'Veon Bell is the really big standout. I mean, Aaron Rodgers will probably be a win for Froenick. Jordan Howard, Devonta Freeman. I'll probably go Devonta Freeman on that. They got a lot of people who cancel each other out points-wise, I would say. I think Le'Veon Bell's just the hole, man. He's just like, I see that Froenick tried to, I don't know, like, switch him into flex, but that doesn't really erase the fact that he's still on his starting lineup. So that doesn't really do anything. You got to find someone on the waiver wire or something.
Well, yeah, I don't think Le'Veon's going to play at all. So I think Froenick is just kind of holding out hope that Le'Veon maybe can play. But, I mean, you,
I don't think he's going to play at all. I don't think he's ready. I don't even know if at this point on Thursday night if he's reported to the Steelers or not. Even if he shows up tomorrow, can you really, you know, pass a physical and prove that you're ready to play and travel, you know, in 24 hours or whatever?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at best, week two at this point.
Right. I think, I mean, Jordan Wilkins, because I don't think Marlon Mack is going to play for Indy. I think Jordan Wilkins is going to end up being the better play for an RB2, and you move Rex Burkhead down to flex, because Burkhead, with the situation that the Patriots have with their running backs, I think Burkhead is closer to a flex play than a guy you would want RB2 points out of. I don't think Burkhead's going to put those up, you know, week one. He's also, like, coming off of an injury, so.
Yeah, and yeah, I think Isaiah Crowell for Scott's side is actually pretty good flex, to be honest. So, yeah, Scott, you know I love to give you shit, but I actually think you have the upper hand this week, at least. You're going to lose to me whenever we play, obviously. But, yeah, I'm rooting for Scott.
Yeah, I agree. I'm picking Scott to take this one as well. He's got the early 2.2-point lead. That's extremely big. His flex play, I think, is going to be a lot better than what Fronik puts up, and I'm really excited to see what Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins can do against New England. I also think Jared Goff is absolutely going to light up the Raiders. And I don't long-term like Marshawn Lynch as a starting running back for Oakland. I just, for some reason, I don't think he's going to last the full season as the starter. But yeah, I'm taking the blind side, the Michael Dorr story to take down Jerry Rice Cube Trey's week one.
What do you think that'll be for Scott? Like, if Jared Goff does amazing against the Raiders, that must be like, he's got this fear in the back of his head that he can't do poorly again this year. But then that means he has to hope Jared Goff does amazing against the season opener.
Yeah, I think Scott, the way his fantasy seasons go, I think he would take a fantasy win week one over the Raiders being not so good. I'd have to get his take on the Khalil Mack trade just to see how he feels about Oakland in general right now, if he's pretty high or down on them. I would imagine Scott being Scott, he's very high on the Raiders no matter what. But I think as poorly as his season went and as close as he was to having to do stand-up comedy, I would think he would just take the early win and get it out of the way.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we're both on the same side there. Moving on, matchup number two, we're going to cover Jordan. Team Fan Tarkenton taking on Pip Brett Favrecue. Last year, Jordan was last year's second place finisher. He gets the number two spot in the second half of our previews here. Taking on Pip, who is looking to make the playoffs for the first time in a couple seasons and maybe even hold on to his best players the whole season. Who knows? Yeah. Looking at Pip's team, which players do you think Pip is actually going to trade away to the front runner in November?
Who will Pip trade away to the front runner? Pip will probably trade away Antonio Brown and probably Russell Wilson, and pretty much trade all his good players like he did last year.
You think Antonio Brown, Russell Wilson, and Travis Kelce, three package or something like that?
Yeah, three package for one player that he needs, because Christian McCaffrey will be out. That sounds about right. And he's really hurting.
He really needs that one player to come in on the bye week to pick up a running back to give away all three of his best guys. Very good.
That sounds like Pip.
Actually, looking at the matchups here, what are you seeing from both of these teams? Obviously, Pip having James Conner is the number one benefactor of Le'Veon Belt being out. Do you think that has a big impact? Do you think James Conner is ready to be a number one back, even if it's just for 1 week?
You know, I didn't actually focus on James Conner. I actually focused on all the holes I see in Jordan's team. But that, I think he'll be serviceable. I mean, he'll last a week. I don't know if he'll, you know, continue to last, but that's not really why Pip has him. I do see a lot of holes or risks in Jordan's team, which is kind of what I wanted to focus on. I hope they both lose, if that's possible.
They can tie.
Say what?
They can tie, I think, is as bad as things can get.
All right. Well, if you can make that count as a loss, since you're the commissioner, that would be great.
Okay. I'll go back and I'll edit the score so it's like -1 to -1.
That'd be great. Yeah. Okay. I first think it was a dumb move on Jordan's part drafting Jay Ajayi. I'm just saying that I got shit all last year for having him with how much of a split backfield the Eagles have. And now JHI is Jordan's RB2. So I'm just telling you, Jordan, he's going to cause problems, and he's going to be probably a disappointment like last year. And even if he's not a dud, his time's going to be split. So that's hole one. Then there's Adam Thielen, who is going to regress, and we're going to see more of Diggs this year. So that's hole two. Like I said earlier, you know, his numbers will probably still be good. He'll still be a good wide receiver, but his numbers are probably currently inflated. One good thing Jordan did was take Handsome Squidward. Handsome Squidward always was solid for me last year. He did well for me. And so, Jordan, I hope he treats you well. Next big risk, this might be weird, but I think Andrew Luck is a risk, because even if he's great, you know, he's been out for a year. He's going to need a few games to hit his stride again, I think. So even if he does well on the whole, I think he's going to need to hit that stride.
Yeah.
And I think Pip wins on QB in that respect, because he's got Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, obviously another, like, what, best quarterback last year? Best fantasy quarterback last year?
He was, yes.
Yeah. They both teams have, like, monster tight ends and monster RB1s, which will probably neutralize each other. And I think Jordan's really got a bold strategy with going with no kicker. It might pay off. Who needs kickers anyway, right? True. They're worthless.
True.
So we might as well not play one. I like it. I like the message that Jordan's sending. Yeah, he should stick with that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you talked about the holes on Pip team, and we're watching I'm watching the Falcons game right now. JHI has not been used all that much. He's only got 1.1 points, so that is very interesting, because we'll talk about the trade Jordan and I made earlier, the trade we made earlier, we'll talk about it later. But JHI was one of the guys I was looking at, because I thought for sure he would be a number one back, and all of almost two quarters into the season, I'm kind of glad I didn't get him. I'm sure in the second half when he goes off for like 130 yards or whatever, like, I'm going to regret it. But I think Pip's team as a whole has a lot of holes. For some reason, I just don't trust Russell Wilson behind Seattle's O-line, because they're not very good. And I know he's got a lot of escapability and can run around and, you know, use his legs to make plays, but I just don't think he's going to end up being, you know, a top five fantasy quarterback this year. Christian McCaffrey is his only true number one back, and he's going to have to wait to see if Nick Chubb takes over the job in Cleveland. Austin Eckler is just a backup in case Melvin Gordon goes down. Deion Lewis, like Jared was talking about earlier, you know, could potentially be a change of pace guy or take over the job. They're going to split carries. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I really, really don't like John Ross. I'll talk about him during segments. And Josh Gordon, I think being a wide receiver too for a team is just a big stretch, considering we have no idea how he's going to play, because it's been so long since he's played a full season.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are all good points. Though I do think Antonio Brown's obviously going to do a lot of work for him.
Oh, yeah.
And for sure. He probably will go off against the Browns, especially.
Yes.
So I think Pip wins on quarterback, and I think Pip wins at, you know, his wide receiver. I think Thielen's numbers are inflated on Jordan's team. And I guess you poked a lot of holes, but the working theory I was going with is that they both have actually, like, pretty decent teams, as many holes as we want to pick in them. But I think what it came down to me was, when I was looking at it, it was risky versus safe. And I think Pip's team looked a lot more safe to me. It might be a lot less exciting. I think Jordan's got a lot more risk and potentially a lot more reward. But I would just generally bet on the safe option.
That's a safety. That's a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
So, good luck, Pip, I guess. That's what I'm going with. Who do you have?
I think, I don't know. I really don't like Peyton Barber as his flex. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan ends up playing Matt Breida, because he is going to be the starter, but that Minnesota defense is so strong. I just don't trust any Tampa Bay Bucks this year. Obviously, no kickers hurting him as well, so we're going to see if he ever adds one of those.
I think he should stay no kicker whole season. I like the message.
Yeah, that's Jordan. True. I guess if you don't draft a kicker, you obviously don't want one, so sacrifice the position, whatever. I think I'm going to go Jordan just because I think his wide receivers as a threesome are going to do better. I'm very iffy on Josh Gordon. I'm very down on John Ross. I think Jordan, in a close one, is going to come away with the win, week one. So,
okay.
Yeah. Which brings us to our last matchup. Mike, he's on the other side. Indomicon Sunscreen? Soonscreen? Is taking on Brandon Juju Smith-Juicer. Sir Michael of Esquire kicks off his second season in the league after making the playoffs his rookie year. Brandon is going back strong. His two first-round pick-worthy running backs in Melvin Gordon and creamy boy Kareem Hunt. Mike, walk us through this matchup. What are the feelings that you're having going into your sophomore season with the season officially being underway?
Pretty good. I'm going to win, obviously. Yeah, that's all there is to it. Hopefully I'll win the whole league this year. I think the only thing to really look out for on Brandon's team is Kareem Hunt. And if the Chargers do what they classically do in a season opener, then they'll suck like they always have. So Kareem Hunt will rush for 420 yards and score about 69 fantasy points himself.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I think my RBs will neutralize that threat, though. And I think Melvin Gordon is nothing to worry about because although he's good, it's the Chargers season opener, so he'll probably go for a mediocre performance the whole game. Fans will wonder why he isn't doing better. Because he's Melvin Gordon, of course, and then he'll have two key fumbles in the second half to lose the game. So that's how that's going to play out.
Okay, very reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask Jordan and Andrew. That's probably what's going to happen. Excuse me, Jared and Andrew. I see Tyrod projected for more than Ben Roethlisberger. I don't really believe that. That seems a little ridiculous to me.
Yeah, Roethlisberger really goes after Cleveland every single time he plays in Cleveland. Really just like a true predator. Big Ben just going after the Browns all the time. He just does not hold back. He'll burst down any door he needs to make sure that he plays at Cleveland all the time.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I would have liked Carson Wentz, but he'll be back. So Ben is not by any means like a bad quarterback. So I'm not worried about that, but I think my team will be that much stronger when I get Carson Wentz back. I do think, where did my notes go? I do think we both have like pretty healthy teams across the board. I was seeing like questionables and health issues with a lot of other matchups. We don't really have any. Except Will Fuller, I guess, and then Carson Wentz. But we're pretty healthy matchup, and I think we have good starters. I think where Brandon and I are weak are probably at depth, because I think the people I have are fine, but they're not exactly people I would be like comfortable with. They definitely seem like safety, picks, and not people I would want to switch out necessarily. I think I see that in Brandon's team too.
Yeah, the thing that has me down on Brandon's team is that I really don't like his wide receivers. I've kind of thought Larry Fitzgerald is over the hill and done with for a while now, even though he last year was the number six fantasy wide receiver. So just like I thought 3 years ago, Frank Gore was done and he was like a top 10 guy. That's probably what's going to happen again with Larry Fitzgerald.
I was just about to say, he's like the Frank Gore of wide receivers.
Yeah, just with big, smaller balls. Yeah. Amari Cooper like needs to prove that the dropsies he had last year are over and done with, and I think Pierre Garçon is going to fall into wide receiver two category with the Niners behind Marquise Goodwin. So I just don't really like that wide receiver setup. Mike Evans, even though I'm down on Buccaneers, he's still a really strong number one target. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays the first handful of weeks transitioning between two different quarterbacks. Jarvis Landry, a PPR machine last year, moving to Cleveland, a new quarterback, and Michael Crabtree, I think, is he the number one in Baltimore? Like, is that kind of how bad the Ravens wide receiver situation is?
I don't know, man. You tell me.
Oh, I didn't know. I was asking you.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just know he's pretty good, and that's why he's on my team.
Oh, okay. And I guess a quick legal question as well. LeSean McCoy was involved with a domestic violence incident in the offseason. He was then cleared of it. Legally, what are your legal friends saying about all of this? And I guess, is it any similarities? Are we going to see this between McCoy's situation and Zeke Elliott's situation last year?
Yeah, I did want to take a minute about that. So I got to knock on a bunch of wood right now, because just to make sure. But I know there was a lot of worry about him this year. But I think the main thing is, it's not exactly like Zeke, right? But if we want to parallel it with the Zeke situation, then I believe the NFL launched their investigation and took an entire year before they took any action, right, on Ezekiel Elliott. And before the whole, drama with is he going to play, is he not going to play, is he going to play, is he not going to play. Everything before that took an entire year. So even, when this happened just this summer, you got to know it's going to take a long time before anything happens. And so I wasn't really when I looked into it more, I wasn't really too worried about drafting him, because let's say something does happen, he is guilty of something for involved with that incident. Suspension, NFL's not even going to take action until next summer, probably, if we're saying this is very similar to the Zeke situation.
Interesting. So did you know this at the draft, that basically nothing was going to happen? He was pretty safe and you could get him right when you got him? Or were you thinking maybe everybody else would be passing on him and you would be able to get him later on or something like that?
You know what, Rick? I honestly pulled a Rick and I didn't know about it like you didn't know about Andrew Luck.
That's phenomenal.
And then I looked into it, then I freaked out, and then I did my research, and then I said, okay, I've been, worrying about it, and then I read up, and I was like, oh, the Zeke thing took a year, this just happened this year, where I'm likely going to be fine, holding my breath for a few weeks, and yeah, we've been good. So I'll be the first to admit, yeah, I pulled a Rick at the draft.
Awesome. Yeah. So are you're taking yourself to win here then over Juju Smith-Schuster?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, you do have the early 6-0 lead. I agree. I think this running back matchup is going to be one that's really interesting. Toad Gurley and Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, LeSean McCoy. I think your wide receivers are better. You've got a pretty solid flex option with Jamison Crowder as well. So, Indomicon sunscreen. To get the win week one. Very good. Mm-hmm. I've also, I guess that brings us to segment times, and I would like to introduce a brand new segment to the league. I'm planning on calling it Calling Out Rick on His Bullshit.
Oh, great.
And basically what this is because I work with a fantastic radio station, 95.3 The Score, which is a CBS Sports affiliate, I have a lot of connections, and I use some of these connections to get Jim Rome of the Jim Rome Show. You can hear that on 95.3 The Score from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday. He read out this liner for the segment, Calling Rick Out on His Bullshit, which we will use for our listeners that hear me say something dumb throughout the weeks, and then it goes off the rails for me. And you just need to call me out on it. Like everybody called me out when I said Deshaun Watson was Pharrell. So here is Jim Rome in the introductory Calling Rick Out on His Bullshit segment.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
So there you go. Anytime you want to call me out on my bullshit, just let me know, and we'll pull out Jim Rome to call me out on my bullshit.
This will be an every week segment then?
As long as people keep wanting to call me out on my bullshit, or if they're actually listening to the pod and, I say something dumb, which I generally do, then yeah, let me know and I will call myself out on my bullshit.
All right, so it'll be an every week segment then.
More than likely, yes. Do you have any segments to go over? Okay.
I do. I've actually got a new segment for us today.
Ooh, week one, new segment.
Yeah, so I know we're all fans about Bug Talk on this podcast, and we really like to have special guest Nigel Thornberry on again this season. Bless his name. But while he's busy out in the field, the best we can do is participate in this new segment, Can You Believe It?
Okay.
Sharing crazy facts about bees and crazy facts about the league.
Oh,
but
okay.
In order for this segment to work, Rick, I need people to be on the edge of their seats for these unbelievable facts. So what I need you to do is do a drum roll of sorts. But okay. Stay on theme. Can you give your audience your best bumblebee buzz? Honeybee fact number one. Honeybees have 5 eyes.
Whoa!
Three small ones on the top of their head. Ugh. And 2 big ones in front.
How do they wear glasses?
Who knows, Rick? And you know what would make wearing glasses even harder?
What?
They also have hair on their eyes.
Oh, no way!
They do.
That's gotta be... How do they get haircuts?
Right. You'll have to ask Nigel Thornberry when he's back on.
Oh, my God.
All right, do you want bee fact number two or football fact number one?
bee fact number two. Or is this three?
I guess that was one huge, big, unbelievable fact.
Okay, yeah, bee fact number two. Oh, boy.
All right, I'm going to have you guess this. There are 20,000 species of bees. How many make honey?
Oh, my God. 20,000?
Yeah.
69. 420. 420. Lock me in with 420.
One could wish, Rick.
Ugh.
But it's only 4.
Whoa. Whoa.
Only 4 species out of 20,000 species of bees make honey.
Oh my God. Then why are there so many bees?
Who knows?
Then why do we care that they're like flying back to space because they're all aliens or whatever?
I guess the answer is will await us on our next segment of Bug Talk with Nigel Thornberry.
Oh, my God. Oh, I can't wait. I have to call Nigel right now.
All right, you ready for some unbelievable football facts?
Yes, please.
All right, number one. So I know a bunch of the guys. You guys might already know this, so I'm not sure. But I know a bunch of the guys like old teams that aren't around anymore and getting the shirts, you know, with the old logos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So tell me if you know this already, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Steagles?
Steagles?
The Steagles.
I have not.
Okay, during World War II, the NFL lost a lot of players due to the military draft or military service. And so as a result, in 1943, in the NFL season, the Philadelphia Eagles and Pittsburgh Steelers merged into one team called the Pennsylvania Steagles or the Phil-Pitt Steagles.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I don't know if there's an official logo, but the kind of running logo when you search online is like the Steelers logo. But the top of the 3 diamonds is replaced with the sort of flying eagle logo from the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Everybody should also Google Steagles at home so you can be able to enjoy the Steagles logo.
Yeah, real team.
Wow, they've got a Wikipedia page and everything.
Mm-hmm. It's for real. Right. Not for real.
Fun fact number two.
All right. Fun fact number two. Player Byron White led the league in rushing in the 1938 season as a member of the NFL's Pittsburgh Pirates. And again in 1940 and 41 as a member of Detroit Lions. He later went on to do what? What do you think, Rick?
What was his name again?
Byron White. Don't Google him.
Byron White led the league in rushing 3 times.
1938, 1940, and 1941.
What did he turn out to do? I'm going to say become president.
Ooh, very close.
Oh, really?
He became a justice of the United States Supreme Court.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Very topical.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are my facts. Can you believe it, Rick?
Wow. I can't believe it. Those facts were unbelievable.
Can't wait for Nigel Thornberry to come back.
I have one more Brock of the Week.
Brock of the Week.
My Brock of the Week is John Ross. Let me start that again. My Brock of the Week is John Ross. No, I can't read. He is Pip's wide receiver 3 this week, mostly because Devontae Parker's injury. But last season, John Ross had 2 targets, 0 receptions, 0 yards, 1 rushing attempt for 12 yards, and a fumble. That is negative 0.8 fantasy points on the season. That is the 18th worst in NFL history since 2010. I guess not in history, but since 2010. And he is the 3rd worst for a player in PPR league points per game at negative 0.27. The worst season ever, in case you were wondering, was Joe Adams in 2012 for the Carolina Panthers, where he put up a line of 3 rushes for 13 yards, 1 target, 1 reception for 7 yards, and 4 fumbles. I absolutely do not believe that John Ross is going to have a good week this week. He is my Brock of the Week.
Brock of the Week. That worst season ever?
The worst season since 2010. I'd have to go back and look like all time to see who the worst was.
Okay.
But yeah, so worst since 2010, a guy put up negative 4 points on the year.
Jesus.
Yes. And I guess, or do you have any segments?
That was my one segment, showcase segment that I wanted to introduce the first week. If I'm on again, I'll have more of the classic segments and maybe another Can You Believe It?
Wow, I can't wait. So I guess that leads us to a Don't Trade Me, Bro. We had a preseason trade. I moved my 2nd-round pick, Michael Thomas, traded him to Jordan, his team, Fan Tarkenton, for Brandon Cooks, Jamal Williams, and Marlon Mack. So here is Jordan's take on the trade.
Hey guys, this is Jordan here to discuss the recent trade that I made with Rick. First, actually, I want to start off by saying thank you to all of the people who are calling into the show today saying nice things about my team. I just want you to know that I think those compliments are completely warranted, and I actually feel the same way, in regards to me having the best team and all those different things you guys have been talking about on the pod so far. So thank you very much for that. As far as the trade goes, we'll try to keep this brief, at least, under half an hour or so. Just know that if this recording goes any less than 25 minutes, that means that Rick, did some fancy editing down. So, don't believe the media and all that type of stuff. But anyway, so the trade I made with Rick, pretty fair trade, I think. I'm happy with my end of the deal. I think that Rick should be really happy with his end of the deal. As far as the players that I gave up on, I gave up Brandon Cooks, Jamal Williams, and Marlon Mack. It's a pretty good haul of players that could all do really well this year. Brandon Cooks, I picked him pretty high, and just fell out of love with him a little bit as the off season kind of moved on. Ooh, I'm burpy. I just had pot stickers for dinner. I wasn't feeling like he was a consistent enough option, since I don't really have a true number one wide receiver. I like him as a player, but if he's in that same Sammy Watkins role this year, I just felt like I needed more consistency out of my wide receiver position. And then both the running backs I gave up on, I'm really high on Jamal Williams. I think both are guys that could be like top 15-ish running backs this year, potentially. I'm not saying they will be, but, or they could be just pieces in offenses that are really more pass first. But they're the perfect type of guys that I think Rick should have taken chances on, since he's really has had no running backs before that. Not no running backs, but just only Patriots. So I think that is a really good haul for Rick. And obviously he had to give up one of his better players. I'm really excited to get Michael Thomas back. In my mind, I had him as like the probably 4th best receiver or so coming into the draft. So obviously I wasn't in the spot to pick him, but I'm just a big fan of the Saints this year. They were great on offense last year, And Thomas had like 104 receptions in a run first offense. So, you know, I still think they're going to be a run first offense, but you know, if he even repeats the production, I'm really happy with, I'll be really happy with that as my number one wide receiver. And if they pass a little bit more with Ingram out, then even better for me. And I think just real quickly, the main thing that kind of allowed me to make this trade was the fact that I had a lot of running back depth behind guys like Williams and Mack. I wasn't even sure that I was going to have either of those guys in my starting lineup for the first week or two. Probably would have started Williams over Peyton Barber, but you know, I kind of stockpiled running backs like Barber and even Adrian Peterson. And now, you know, with McKinnon out, those Niners running backs, having both of them on my team is pretty huge for me. So that was kind of, as unfortunate as that is, that's kind of lucky for me. So I just feel like, you know, you can only do so much with depth. Like I can't play all of them. So I felt like it was a really good opportunity right now to turn that into a number one wide receiver kind of before we got going with the whole season. So that's my thoughts. I think I actually feel like Rick probably got more value back as far, you know, if you're just looking at the trade in a vacuum and looking at the players, but I'm incredibly happy with the way that it is shaping my team moving forward. I just feel like it gives me like a huge leg up as far as my starting lineup goes. I mean, I have three or four really elite players in my starting lineup, which is pretty huge for our league where, you know, the good players are spread out and everybody's smart. So I feel like I got a good start. I just need my guys to kind of stay healthy now. And I'm happy that we got a deal done.
All right. So that was Jordan's take on the trade. Mike, what did you think of this trade? Who do you think came out on top? Or was it actually, for one of the few times this year, a pretty balanced trade for these two teams?
I didn't look at it, Rick. I'm sorry.
You have no take on it at all?
I've been busy with like law work.
You and your damn lawyer pursuit.
Tell me, give it to me again.
I traded away Michael Thomas to Jordan.
Oh, Rick.
Yes.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Michael Thomas for Brandon Cooks, Jamal Williams, and Marlon Mack.
Brandon Cooks, Jamal Williams. Let me look at your... I'm just going to pull your team up real quick here.
Okay.
Which one are you?
I am team Le'Veon Belt.
Okay. Brandon Cooks, Marlon Mack, and third one, give me.
Jamal Williams.
Oh, okay. So you're actually using them.
Yes.
I guess that's, I mean, God, who did you switch out? I guess that's the real deal.
Michael Thomas?
No. I mean, like, who did you replace in your other positions? Like, who did you replace for Marlon Mack and Jamal Williams? Who did you have there that you really needed to replace that you would trade?
Well, I had Darius Geis of the Washington R-Words, and he tore his ACL. He was done for the year, which left me with Sony Michel, James White, and then the other running backs on my bench. Sony Michel is also going through a knee injury. Wouldn't be healthy for week one. So I needed two starting running backs and then, you know, depending on who I was giving up, a wide receiver back. So Brandon Cooks, pretty solid wide receiver. I had him last year, but now I'm teaming him up with Robert Woods, and that's two Rams receivers. And like Jared said, like I'm starting to split hairs there, and maybe that's not the best move. But Jamal Williams is for sure going to be the starter the first 2 weeks in that Green Bay offense, and hopefully he can hold on to the job. And Marlon Mack is now injured and won't play week one, but I am hoping that he also keeps the starting job when he comes back, or maybe that he comes in and can play on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, I think the damage control with Darius Geis, that makes sense. So actually it's not, you know, I hate to see anyone give up Handsome Squidward, because he did very well for me last year. But I think what you did makes sense now that you've explained it to me and who you replace, especially getting those RBs set.
Yeah.
So, I think you put yourself in a bit of, like, you know, a sticky situation with two Rams, but you knew that, and the more important deal was making sure you had solid RBs, which you will when Marlon Mack's done. So it's not like trading Antonio Brown for trash.
Very true. Yeah, this I think Jordan's on the same side. Like, his wide receivers needed a boost. He got a big boost there. Even though, like you said, he was pretty high on Brandon Cooks. I wasn't going to trade Julio and try and get Jay Ajayi, who turns out maybe is splitting carries in this Eagles offense, because as of right now, at halftime, he only has 1.1 points, which isn't that great of a look, seeing as it's 3-6, and you would think the Eagles would kind of want to run the ball a little bit. I think the trade worked out. I think it was pretty easy. It is really interesting that Jordan, you know, gave up three players just to get one back, but he absolutely had the depth to be able to pull that move off.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm always a little wary of those, because usually I like the people that are in my position, so I don't want to, like, usually one for one seems like, you know, a good trade for me, but I'm like, where am I going to put all these extra players, basically, because you have to drop someone, you know. Who did you drop, I guess?
I had picked up like TJ Yeldon and I think Taywan Taylor, who are just guys that I added super late, in the draft, or I think I drafted Taywan Taylor with like my very last pick. And then I had picked up TJ Yeldon cause I had to drop guys. So I had the empty roster spot. So he's a backup to Fournette anyways. I had the two starting running back positions that were open. I still feel pretty good once Michelle is healthy, that I should be in a position where I maybe don't have to play both Rams receivers, or maybe one of them, you know, I could move them. If you're interested in Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods, let me know. Send me some trades. I think it'll work out. It's obviously very strange to have a trade this early in the season, especially in the preseason, but I think it worked out.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
For sure. All right, well, thank you, Michael, very much. Enjoy law school. I know you are working away hard at that. You are a legal expert and analyst and all of our lawyers. So, again, everything that we've said here is highly confidential. Please don't share it with anyone.
All right, you know, on my honor, I wouldn't do that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mike, and good luck this week, and good luck the rest of the season, except for when you play me.
Okay, same to you, Rick.
Yeah, oh! Falcons almost got an interception. That is going to do it. Episode 1 of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast is in the books. The NFL season is underway. Be sure to listen to the High School Game of the Week, brought to you by Bi-Mart on KUGN News Talk 590. We've got a great game this weekend. Marist moved down to 4A. They are taking on the Seaside Seagulls. Alex Braga and I will be on the call for that one. Pre-game starts at 6:45. Game starts at 7. Be sure to tune in. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Be sure to subscribe, unsubscribe, and resubscribe. This has been the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. And best of luck to you in your matchups this week.